Now, it's not often that we get to pick up a psalm and actually hear it in music. And, of course, we know all the psalms are songs. And so we praise that particular version. I think it's just wonderful. We're going to talk about Psalm 95 today. So if you would be turning to your Bibles or wherever you pick up this psalm, and we're going to highlight this morning a few thoughts that King David wants to share with us. And basically this psalm is about how to worship God. And we just heard it in song. And so now we want to, if we can, listen to King David. And then we'll also reference some other passages that go along with this. One of the reasons why I like the psalms is not only do I receive encouragement from them, but I also am able to tie together the whole story of God's plan of salvation, and that is it ties into the New Testament as well. So this particular psalm is mentioned in the New Testament, in the writer of Hebrews. If you go to chapter 3 and chapter 4, you'll see this particular psalm quoted throughout. And it's amazing how everything ties together, and when it does, that's why you want to pay attention to it. Repetition in the Bible is a flag that says, you know what, I think this needs extra thought, and I think this needs extra meditation and prayer. Jesus did that in his teachings. Jesus was quite good at making sure people understood exactly what he was trying to say, and he used parables to illustrate that. But let's, if we can, look at this psalm, because I think it's needed today. You know, when I heard the sad news regarding the death of Ron and Shirley's son, it hit home to me because his son is pretty close to my age of my son. And I can't imagine what it's like to lose a son. And so we certainly think of them this morning. And so as I was hearing that, and then was asked to speak today, I said, well, let me, if I can, let's go to some passages in Scripture and let's see if we can't receive some comfort and rest. And oh, how we need it so bad. It's now mentioned in all of our prayers and thoughts. This morning, I happened to go through and look at some of the media information regarding news as well as the newspaper. And it's just one bad thing after another. And so, if anything, today we need rest. If anything, today we need peace. And I think through Scripture and through the Word of God and through this particular passage this morning as well as some others, I think we can achieve that path and we can get on that path and rest assured that God loves us and wants us to have peace and wants us to have rest. And so he'll give us some illustrations of how we can attain it this morning. This is also a message to believers. This is also a message to people who have heard the Word of God in the New Testament, who have heard the gospel message. And so this is a message to them and an encouragement to them. And there's some illustrations that we're going to get here from King David that reminds us of what happened in the past and what he doesn't want to see happen in the future. And in the New Testament, it goes toward the New Covenant, and the same thing occurs. So if we can, let's just begin with this psalm, and I'll just simply go through it. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on it, but it's self-explanatory. And you know, the Word of God is that way. If you look at it at this way, if you go to 2 Peter chapter 1, you'll see that men and women were inspired by the Holy Spirit when they wrote these words. And so the way I like to look at it when I read it is I like to say, you know what? This is the Spirit speaking. And so therefore it becomes supernatural. It becomes more than just human. And so then when I receive it, I want that Spirit to touch my heart and to prompt me to do the things that I need to do better in my life. In fact, this whole psalm is a self-examination of a believer. So let's go through it. Here is first is a call, and then we're going to get into how and why we worship, and then there's a little warning that's associated with all of this at the end. And some people wonder why it's even a part of this particular psalm. But then as we study it, and especially as we go into the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 4, we begin to put it together. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. That's worship, is that we come together and we sing songs and that we give thanksgiving. You know, Christianity is a feeling religion. It's not something at which we should just take lightly and that we just don't have any emotion whatsoever. We ought to feel good about it. You know, Twig's dad, my wife's dad, who's now passed, he would do something every morning. And at times I would join him, but he would fix a fresh pot of coffee and then take that cup and he'd go out and sit down on the porch and sit in the chair and he'd take a sip of it and he'd go, ah, it's going to be a good day. And then he would listen to the birds, he'd look at the trees, he'd watch the squirrels run around. And I often thought, I said, you know what, this man is at peace. And how wonderful it is that he has that moment. A lot of us get that through nature, right, Perry? A lot of us get that through walking or riding a bike or whatever to find that peace. My mother had a way of doing it even before she got dementia, where she would sit in a chair, and her recliner was a cloth chair. And she would be sitting, and whether it's watching TV or listening to all of us talk, all the hobbies love to talk, and she'd just be sitting there touching the cloth, going back and forth. And I often looked at that and I said, I wonder what she's doing. And have you ever tried it? So I tried it and I said, okay, I know what she's doing. She's at peace. Well, you know, God, if you go back to Genesis chapter 2, you'll see that on the sixth day after creation, he said, it's all good. Kind of like my father-in-law. It's all good. And then on the seventh day, what did he do? He rested. And so people interpret that many different ways, but I don't think it had to do with the fact that he was weary and tired. It was all good. And so he was just resting. He had just completed creation. And the other day I was at a stoplight, and I thought of that particular passage. And I looked up and saw the big blue sky with the white clouds, and everything just looked so beautiful. God's creation is so beautiful. It's kind of like my father-in-law when he's looking at the birds and the squirrels. There's so much out there that we don't know about. We just take for granted by keeping our heads down. Now, I was focused on the light. But how wonderful it was to look up in the sky and see what a beautiful creation we have and that he's provided for us. Let's go forward if we can. For the Lord is a great God. This is why we worship God. The great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain's peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it. God is the creator of all things. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. Now, notice there's several things there that I think we need to pay attention to, and that is that he calls for reverence. Worship should be reverent, and at times we should be quiet. At times we should be in honor of God. At times we should be thinking inside. Now, a while ago it said shout, music, and so there's a balance between the two. And, of course, the opposite of noise is silence. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Now, right away, that should remind us of John chapter 10, where it talks about the shepherd and his sheep, and Jesus is our shepherd. Today, if only you would hear his voice, and here comes the warning. Do not harden your hearts as you did in Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested me. They tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years I was angry with that generation, and I said, they are people whose hearts go astray. and they have not known my ways. So I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. Now, if you go back and look at the interpretations of these two places, Meribah and Masal, you'll see that the definitions have to do with quarreling, which is Meribah, and testing, which is Masay, and they're actually together in Deuteronomy. But they were having a problem because of water. And so all of a sudden, they forgot all about the Egypt and the Red Sea and all the different things that God had done miraculously because they were thirsty. And so as a result, they began to quarrel and began to test God, but quarrel with Moses. In fact, Moses, if you go back and look at Exodus 17, you'll see that he actually goes to God and he says, we had a problem here. I don't know what I'm going to do with these people. What am I going to do with these people? And so here we see that there was a judgment that God gave his own people. In fact, they were not able to enter the promised land of Canaan. They were not able to enter that rest that God had promised. Because why? Because of disbelief and because of disobedience. They felt like that it was too risky. They felt like it was unsafe. They felt like that the people were too big. They were giants. And they'd all get destroyed. And only two came back with the report that says, I think we need to follow God's plan. And so those that were disobedient never got to enter into the rest. Now, if you go to Hebrews, the writer there talks about in chapter 4. I won't go through it all with you, but you might want to go read it when you have time. And that is, it talks about another rest, a spiritual rest, same rest really, because it's in obedience to God. But what he's saying there is, you know what? You can hear the gospel message, and you can speak with your lips, but your heart is not with me, says God. And so therefore, you're in danger of not entering my rest. And of course, what is rest? Is rest is salvation, rest is eternal life. And so just as Canaan was the promised land of where they would have milk and honey and all the blessings of God, that same offer through Jesus Christ and the cross is still open today. And that's why today is mentioned many times. And if you go to the New Testament, you'll say today is mentioned many times. You know, there's another word for rest, and that is cease is another definition. And I think that's something we ought to look at in our lives, and that is we need to sometimes rest from our work, and we need to sometimes just sit back and just simply say, it is good because God loves me and because God protects me and because God is ever present in my life. And I want to enter into that rest, not to where I just simply do it with motions of words or that I'd hear. I want to go and do. You know, there's a beautiful passage which says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. So in all of our ways, to enter God's rest is give it up. Don't hold on to it. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, come unto me all that are heavy laden. I will give you rest. So I tell people that have real burdens on their hearts, whether it be whatever, give it up. Give it to God. Give it to Jesus. He's ready to take it. He's ready to give you rest. And how do you get that rest? By simply knowing that something bigger than you is taking care of the situation. And that you got to live with the answer, because it may not be what you want, but it's what God wills. Now, there are situations of where in life there's lots of trouble. There's death. There's accidents that happen. There's things that are unexplainable. In fact, Jesus mentions that when they approach him one day. If you go back to Luke 13, you'll see that some people really wanted to put him to the test by them simply saying, well, what happened to the people that were worshiping and they were murdered? What happened to those people? Why did that happen? And Jesus said, well, what about the people that died because a tower fell on them? And his response was, repent or you shall likewise perish. Now that's two meanings. One is, life is trouble. Accidents are going to happen. Events are going to happen. Hurricanes are going to come. And there's going to be a lot of tragedy with that. Tornadoes are going to come. Unknowns are going to come. Events are not going to be easy. Events are going to be difficult. And so that's when we need to, as we're talking about here, enter into God's rest. Give it to Jesus. He's ready. You remember Jesus' words as God's finished with his creation. Jesus on the cross said what? It is finished. So we don't have to sit here and do a lot of stuff and a lot of work. We do, as far as serving God. We think, and we use our minds, we use our finances, but when it comes to our spirituality and our destiny, it's finished. It's all done. It was done at the cross. You now have forgiveness of sins. You've been freed to where you no longer have any guilt in regards to sin. You're going to sin still, but you're going to have forgiveness of your sins. God's plan has been fulfilled. It's finished. So don't try to earn your way to heaven. It's not going to work. Give your heart to God. Give your heart and soul to Jesus Christ. And let the Holy Spirit dwell within you. Now I'm preaching to the choir this morning. But it's all a reminder to all of us, because I need it, as well as I know you need it, to be reminded of how great our God is. You know, David has a beautiful, and then we'll finish. David has a beautiful rendering of a quiet spirit that is just simply concentrating on God instead of the events of the world. There's a lot of evil in the world. There's a lot of anger in the world. But in Psalm 37, I give you that one. Psalm 37, you ought to try to quote it all. I won't quote it all, but I'll give you some of the highlights. David expresses this in a very quiet way, in a quiet manner. But he says, do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Cease from anger. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. But the Lord sustains the righteous. Steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. The salvation of the righteous is with the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble, and the Lord helps them, and the Lord delivers them. I'd like to end, if I could, by words from our Lord Jesus. And I think it's his words that are most important here when we talk about rest and peace. And it's in John 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For my Father's house has many rooms, and if it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. And notice these beautiful words in verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Amen. If there's anything that we can do for you this morning, we invite you to come. Whatever that need may be, we invite you to come. And let's now stand and sing.